today as we come to the table.
And what I found was is that I was coming home, but I wasn't home. My mind wasn't with my family. My mind wasn't with my wife. My mind wasn't with my kids. My mind was on what I got to do tomorrow. What did I not finish today? What's this? What's that? We have to somehow as husbands learn that switch. And it takes God's power, God's spirit to switch that switch over to I am with my family now. And they need me. And I need to do something with my wife other than just look at her at the table and grunt. I mean, speak to her, you know? Oh, you know? I don't believe in cavemen, but if I could see a link there, if there was ever any kind of woman, oh, you know, just talk, you know.
We've all had a difficult day. Every time we encounter a bad situation, whether at work or in our daily lives, the entire scenario stays with us for the rest of the day. It even has an impact on our concentration and clarity of mind. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. In a marriage, a bad day at work affects not only you, but also your spouse and children. Are you going to get over it? In today's message, Pastor Mark explains how you can let go of all work-related thoughts and shift your focus to being with your family. When you get home, you can switch to family mode with God's help and His guidance. You can focus on your family rather than work. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 as he continues his message, The Bible, God's Instruction Manual for Marriage, Part 2.
See, that's how God does it. That's this wonderful place that God forces us to when we realize that we simply can't do this. And so, you know, God works in our life in that way, and God will use us as husbands to set the tone for our families and to set the direction for the way we're supposed to go because we're the leaders. So again, we see that as we get into today. Notice he starts out here in verse 25 and he says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, again, last week we saw that wives had one main instruction from the Lord in marriage, and that was simply follow the leadership of your husband. Let him be the leader. God's made him that way. God's designed him that way. Submit to him and let him do that. Remember, we don't have to go back and talk about what that means to submit. You know, if you weren't here, get the tape. It's not some type of lesser position. It's simply allowing God to use the husband in the position he's put him in, and all of us in the family operating in the different positions God has put us in. So that was the main instruction for the wife. Now we see God saying to the husbands, now husbands, love your wives. Here's the one main instruction. There's one main instruction for the husband. God keeps it simple because he knows there's guys like me out there. I don't make this hard. Just love your wife. And I guarantee you, husbands, if you just focus on loving your wife, everything else will fall into place. Now, of course, that's in light of loving the Lord. You love your wife, you love the Lord first, and then you love your wife. Everything else, we've talked about it before. If the vertical is in place in our lives as husbands, the horizontal will fall right in line. So understand that, the vertical in place, the horizontal is always going to be there. I think sometimes we try so hard to get the horizontal in place. You know, what can I do to make my marriage better? What can I do to make my kids behave? What can I do to get our home in better order? And we've got our eyes on all the horizontal plane, all these problems that we have. And God says, no, you've got it backwards. All of those things are important, husbands. But you see, they're a result of getting the most important in line. And we talked about it last week. Remember, all marriage problems ultimately come down to our walk with God. And so what do? We get the vertical in line. First of all, now we get our eyes on God. We realize our responsibility before God as the husband, trusting in his power, needing his power, needing his ability to do this. Now the vertical's in place. The horizontal just begins to fall in place. Now, again, it doesn't mean we live in some fairy tale world where there's no problems. But it means that now we've got the God part of it taken care of, and everything else now falls into line in line with that. And so we need to love our wives. And again, this is something that comes from having our relationship right with the Lord, because we can't do it in our own strength. You know, a husband who will truly love his wife will rarely find a wife who will not submit to his leadership. You know, I didn't have any trouble following my pastor. I didn't walk around going, well, how come he's the senior pastor? Well, I should be. Well, I think I want to make the rules. I want to make the decisions. As a matter of fact, like I said, this is nice. I kind of like him having to be the one that all the weight falls on. Because if something goes wrong, it's not my fault. It's that guy right there. So if things go wrong, go to him. Don't come to me. I'm just his assistant. Wives, God has called you to be the husband's assistant. Something goes wrong, it's not your fault. Now, you may be doing your part, and that's we've talked about all that as far as making things go the wrong way. But you see, it falls on the husband. And so if a husband will simply love his wife, I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to have those that God puts over us. All of us are under authority. Every one of us. There's nobody in this room that's not under authority. And if you think you're not under authority, you're mistaken, because you are. And if you don't allow that authority to be over you, then you're in pride. I mean, the husband, the pastor, all of us, the leaders, we're under God. We're under the Lord's authority. We're his assistant in what he's called us to do in ministry. And so, again, the wording here, interesting, he says, love your wives. The wording here means love your wife, and this is interesting to me, as a lifestyle. Note that, husbands. It doesn't mean just love your wife as a one-time thing. It means to love your wife on a day-to-day basis as a lifelong thing. You know, it's not, well, honey, I told you at the altar that I loved you, and if that changes, well, I'll let you know. You know, I'll send you a letter or something or write something. No, it means every day she needs to know that she's loved. You see, I believe that our wives have a need to hear that they're loved on a regular basis, even as we as husbands need to hear the Lord loves us. Don't you need to know the Lord loves you, men? I do. I need to know the Lord loves me. I want to know I have his encouragement, his support, that he stands, that he's there as my authority, as the one who I've submitted myself to. He's my Lord, but I need to know that he loves me, and I need his help, and I need his support. A wife needs the same thing. The same way as the bride of Christ needs it from the husband, Jesus Christ, the bride in the relationship needs it from the husband. Sometimes life is hard and we need to be reminded that we're not alone. Knowing that someone cares gives us strength and the ability to go on. There's that need to know that. And so I think wives need to know their love, not only in a verbal way, but also they need to be shown on a regular basis. Show your wife you love her. Just, you know what that has to be. It doesn't mean you have to run out buying big gifts all the time. I'm sure your wife would love that. But I think just doing something special, yeah, maybe a gift ever so often, some flowers, something, just something to show her that you're thinking about her. You know, she comes home and, you know, you've cleaned the house, you've done the dishes, you know, the kids have had their bath. Now, that's a shocker, right? As Tolly would say, there's a picture for you. So the bottom line is, though, showing your wife ever so often in a special way that you love her, maybe the things that she does on a regular basis, you just do it. Why? Just because you want to show her you love her. And when she knows you like she knows you, she's going to know that's he loved me to do that, right? And so, again, show your wife in special ways. And next, notice, husbands, how we are to love our wives. This is very intimidating for me as a man to realize the responsibility. How? Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I could stop on the just as Christ gave the church and sit down and just kind of weep for a while. How in the world can I love my wife the way Jesus loves me? And when I realize my failures and my weakness, and then he goes on and just really piles it on and gave himself for it. Now I've got to love her and give myself. This does not come by the efforts of the flesh. And I do not do this 100% of the time. Talk to Tracy. She'll tell you. But I know this is what God has called me to do, and this is why I'm forced to run to him and say, God, you've got to help me. I can't do this. But God says, I will help you to do it by my spirit and by my power, if you'll run to me. See, it's a beautiful place. It puts the husband in a place of pressure, but it's a wonderful pressure because it drives us to our knees and to the Lord. Now, let me say this. First of all, biblical love is not bound up in feelings. Although that is a part, biblical love is a choice, regardless of the feelings. And I think oftentimes this is why God tells the husband to love their wife, because, you know, husbands are less feelings-oriented than wives. Wives are more emotional. They base more things off of their feelings. And we can't go by our feelings, can we? We can't trust our feelings. And so we have to learn to, feelings are good. And I think God uses the wife to balance us out as husbands. He takes all these John Waynes and teaches them what it's like to have some feelings, because we need that balance. But at the same time, because we're not emotions oriented or feelings oriented, you know, we typically don't cry when we get a present, you know, or whatever the case might be. It's just not men. We don't do that. Well, because of this, we need to realize that even when we don't feel like it, our wives need to be loved. And so God sets us the example by saying, you know what? You've got to love your bride the way that I love the church. And since you don't base it on feelings, husbands, I want to show you that I didn't base it on feelings when I loved my bride, the church. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, note that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, here's the point. God loved us when there was nothing lovable about us. God didn't look at me when I was living in sin before I came to Christ and have feelings of that he really liked what I was doing, and just watching my life made him just feel tingly all over. The Bible says that God hates sin. He loves the sinner. He loves us, but he hates sin. But he saw me in that sin, and he saw me as his future bride, which I now am his bride, and he knew that I would be, and he loved me anyway. He chose to love me in the midst of my filth. Now, husbands, relate that over to our wives. Our wives are not in filth. Now, we may be married to an unsaved wife that is, in the sense of sin or whatever. That can be a reality, but the point is, if God loved us in our filth, how much more should we be able to love our wives in them knowing the Lord? And even if they don't know the Lord, being able to love our wives as Christ loved us. So we too as husbands love our wives, even if they're unlovable at times. There may be times when, you know, husbands, I know there's times when you are unlovable. You're not always that little teddy bear, you know. And there's probably times when the wives are unlovable. They're having a hard time. The Lord says, love them anyway. Show them grace. And sometimes it might mean nothing more than just be quiet. Don't respond. You know what I found? Whenever there's tension in our marriage, there's a tough moment where something's happened, you know. If I respond and start talking, boy, does that just throw gas on the fire. Right? And I'm not saying that in the sense of I don't want to make that look bad in her way. I'm saying in our argument, both of us, okay? Both of us stirred up. And what I've learned is if I can just be quiet, although I'm angry, whatever the case might be, I don't always successfully do that. But if I can do that, it's amazing how it calms things down. If, you know, if you don't throw gas on the fire, it won't get worse. It'll still be burning. It's still uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good. But the Bible also says that a gentle answer turns away wrath, and a soft answer breaks a bone. Think about that for a minute. If I'm going to break a bone, I think I need to hit it hard. I got to make my point and win this thing. A soft answer can break an argument right in two. You know, honey, I know that we don't agree on this, but I've been really ugly here. Forgive me. Wow, it doesn't mean that you're the only one to blame, husbands, but it breaks a bone. That doesn't mean she's going to immediately just collapse. You know, oh, me too, and you're right. Right? But it shows her your humility and your ability to say, you know what? Yeah, even if she's wrong in the argument, if you've responded wrong and now you're able to humble yourself, that's powerful, absolutely powerful. And it goes completely contrary to everything our mind thinks would work. But I'm telling you, it's what God's word says, and it absolutely works. And sometimes it's just a matter of just backing off. Doesn't mean you don't resolve the issue. It just means you handle it in a different way. Now, secondly, notice here he says that we are to have to live self-sacrificing lives for our wives. Now, this is the second part of that. First, just as Christ loved the church, now self-sacrificing. Why? Again, because this is how Jesus loves us. He died for his bride, not seeking his own, but his bride's best interest. And so we as husbands have to ask ourselves, how much am I really laying my life down for my wife? Am I really doing that? And there are very practical things we could talk about, you know. One could simply be, you know, it's a heart attitude, but one can simply be, as we said earlier, just doing something, helping the wife. It's amazing, simply helping the wife around the home, helping the wife with our children. I don't know why it is, as husbands, we think that somehow we're not supposed to help with the kids. I can bathe the kids just as good as she can. Well, she does it better. You know, that for me, it was a lot harder, and you hope they wouldn't drown, but because you know, those little guys there, when they're that, they're slippery, aren't they, when they're little? Those of you moms and dads, have you ever noticed, you know, scary, you know, little. But guys, you know, it doesn't mean, listen, I do believe that the wife, first and foremost, is to be watching after the home while the husband's away, and the husband is to be, you know, making the salary and bringing home for the wife and all that. But as the overseers of the home, we need to be involved in every part of it. You know, the best managers of a business are those who do every part of it. You ever notice that? You know, when you're trained at a restaurant or even trained, I think of restaurants or construction or anything else. The best person who's an overseer at construction is one who has done every single part of construction at some point. He's laid the brick before. He's put the grout in. He's put a tile down. He's fixed some carpentry on the corner. He's done it all, and therefore he can oversee it to the best ability. But if we as husbands say, well, that's not my job, that's their job, they do all that, then I just oversee it. Do this, do this, do this. And we're the do this people. Because we're never going to be effective as husbands in our home and leading our families. And this is a way that we can show a self-sacrificing love for our wife. And again, it's not something that comes natural. It's not something that comes easy. It is a choice we make to love our wives, even as Jesus chose to love his bride, the church. Lastly, notice he says we are to give ourselves for our wives. That is, give ourselves, not just our time. Give ourselves. You know, this may sound obvious, but for men, it's not. Men, I want to say this to you, and women, you're not going to understand this. Men, and maybe the men, you won't understand it. Women, you'll understand this. Men, you won't. This is just for the men. Husbands, when you're home, be home. It was amazing. For years in our marriage, I'd come home, and Tracy would say, where are you? Well, I'm here, spending time with my wife. No, you're not. Your mind's somewhere else. You're doing other things. You got all this. When you're home, at least be home. You're gone enough. But when you're home, be home. I need a husband. And what I found was is that I was coming home, but I wasn't home. My mind wasn't with my family. My mind wasn't with my wife. My mind wasn't with my kids. My mind was on what I got to do tomorrow. What did I not finish today? What's this? What's that? We have to somehow as husbands learn that switch. And it takes God's power, God's spirit to switch that switch over to I am with my family now. And they need me. And I need to do something with my wife other than just look at her at the table and grunt. I mean, speak to her, you know? Oh, you know? I don't believe in cavemen, but if I could see a link there, if there was ever any kind of woman, oh, you know, just talk, you know. He says that, notice this, he gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, even as Jesus sanctifies and cleanses his bride, the church, so too the husband is to sanctify and cleanse his bride. Now, how? How does he do that? Number one, notice the word sanctify. It means to set apart for sacred use. You see, our wives are to be seen by us and treated by us as someone set apart for God's purposes. And hence, we have a responsibility to help them grow in the Lord as their leader. You know, it's not just my wife. This is God's little girl. Now, I see this in an interesting light now, having four little girls. I think about somebody that's wanting to marry my daughter. They may want to be her husband, but that's my little girl. And how you treat my little girl affects me greatly. And if you don't treat her right, it's going to affect you greatly. We've got God's little girls as our brides. That's pretty intense. Especially if you're a dad with a daughter. Now you begin to see his perspective. That's my girl. How are you treating her? Treat her as set apart for God's purposes. She's mine. Yes, I've loaned her to you to be a companion and a bride, but she's ultimately mine, and I'm taking her back one day. And so while you have her in your care as an overseer, I'm going to hold you accountable for how you oversaw. Intense. This is why, guys, we need prayer. Notice next, he says, cleanse, sanctify, and cleanse. It means to cleanse from stains and shame. Even as Jesus sets us apart and cleanses us from stains and shame, we're to do the same for our wives. Now, how do we do this? Well, we cleanse their shame by being gracious and forgiving when they mess up, and we cleanse their mind and heart by the washing of the water of the word. You know, Jesus sanctifies and cleanses us here by sharing his word. So too, we as husbands are to sanctify and cleanse our wives by sharing them with them our life and in God's word. What is the things that God shares with us, we need to be sharing with our wives. Share what God is saying to you. Share what God is showing you. I mean, it develops, not only develops the relationship, but again, it begins to mold the relationship with the Lord and your wife together in this sharing. Now, this can happen in a number of ways. I've seen couples do this different. It can be a time where you formally sit down and have a time together in the word, if you're the formal type, or it can be simply sharing with her what God is teaching you from the word as you live together day by day. But there should be an atmosphere of God's word and praise in our home that purifies our wives and children. It's just an atmosphere simply by living there. You know, praise and worship on the radio, movies and TV that don't defile our home, books and magazines that lead us to God and not away from God. We're training them up in the Lord. It's interesting. The word washing here means to bathe, or literally it's a bathing place. So what God is saying is we need a bathing place together with our wives to take a spiritual bath. That is a time where we share God's word with them. Again, it could be, as I said, something formal you set aside. You know, we've done several different tactics and methods throughout marriage of getting in the Word together and just sharing the Word together. And sometimes it'll be just pulling out the Word and I'll read a chapter to her and we'll pray, or something God shared with me in the quiet time, I'll share with her. Sometimes we may, like if we're riding in the car, I find that to be a great time where I'll hand her the Bible. I don't read and drive, but I'll hand her the Bible, at least while she's with me. No, I'm kidding. I don't read the Bible and drive. But I'll hand her the Bible and let her read it. And as she reads it, then we talk about it. But there's this atmosphere of sharing the Word together. Okay, and again, don't get intimidated by that. Well, I'm not a teacher. You don't have to be a teacher. And there doesn't have to be a formal, okay, sit down and we got to do this. Just as God shares His Word, you know, honey, listen to these verses I read here in, you know, chapter 5 or whatever, chapter 6, and just share that. And look what God showed my heart. And you're washing your wife. You're sharing the Word of God with her. And so there's that ministry in the Word together that goes on. It's a wonderful thing. The Lord gives us His Word and cleanses us. Now we pass that Word on to our wives, and they're washed as well. And notice He says, why do we do this? Notice verse 27, that He might present it, that is the church, and the analogy here, the husband presenting the bride, but again, the Lord presenting His church to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, without blemish here means absolutely blameless. And so what's the point here? Well, although we don't have the power to make our wives absolutely blameless like the Lord does His church, the Bible does say that our wives reflect how well we take care of them. You know, it might be that if our wife is cold and hard, we are, or that's how we're treating them. I think we have to honestly look at ourselves and say, you know, is my wife a reflection of me? You know, it's interesting, and it talks about the wife, the woman is the reflection of the man. The word there literally means the reflection of the man when it says, speaking of women and men. And in context, He's not talking about marriage. He's talking about the fact that a woman was created in the same, you know, image of man, if you will, from man. But I wonder if there's not an application to some degree of, you know, our wives are basically what we've molded, what we've shaped over the years. Have we been harsh with our wives? You know, if we find our wives are harsh, the question is, have we been harsh with them? If we find they're cold again, or have we been cold with them? Now, again, I know that's not 100% of the time, but I think we need to honestly look at that as husbands, because wives follow our lead. Even as, you know, you set the pace, you know, for what the wife does oftentimes. We have to set the tone of the home as husbands. Notice He says, verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. And he who loves his wife loves himself. Now note this, by loving our wives, we're in reality loving ourselves. And we love to love ourselves, so that's a good bonus. Now how are we loving ourselves? Well, if we take good care of our wife, she's going to take good care of us. The scripture says we're one. You know, if I think about a body, and being one with my body, if I slam my finger in the door every day and do it on purpose, I'm going to have a miserable life. I'm going to have a miserable finger first. And that finger is going to cause a result to the rest of my body. What's that? A miserable life. A miserable day. Because I'm always going to be sore and upset and frustrated and whatever. And so I'm bringing this on myself. I'm not loving myself. I'm not nurturing myself, if you will, in this example here. So likewise, if I slam my wife verbally or in my actions every day, I'm going to have a miserable wife.
Our time at the table of God's Word has come to a close for today. But what are some things you gained from what you heard? The book of Genesis gets the ball rolling, causing you to think about all kinds of big picture questions, things related to the creation of the world, why God would allow a worldwide flood, and why were the Israelites His chosen people? These are all good things to think about and to dig further in God's Word. But our hope is that what you heard today has helped solidify some things that might have been in question before. God was specific in how He brought things about. None of it was accidental or haphazard. As you listen through this series, we trust that you'll come to some great realizations about who God is and what He's done and is doing. To listen to this message again or share with a friend, go to thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Simply click on the Come to the Table tab. If you have some questions about what you heard today, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link on our website or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We encourage you to stay grounded in God's Word, allowing Jesus to grow you and draw you closer to Him daily. being willing to go where he's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared another teaching here in the book of Genesis. So join us again the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.